Great. So welcome, everybody. This is our first conference call for BF 101 Basic Recreation Finances. And I'd like to acknowledge that today I'm hosting this call from the traditional territories of the Kwamundun First Nation and the Tongkhlawchan Council. So those are in the city of Whitehorse Falls within two of our First Nations traditional territories. This learning event, BF 101 or Basic Recreation Finances, it will help you develop a basic understanding of how to responsibly handle money stuff in your role in recreation. So you're going to learn a bit about planning for, tracking, and reporting on money that comes in and money that you spend on the projects and programs that you're doing. I've got some slides that I'll show in a minute, but if you've had a look at the slides, slide number 4 shows that in this learning event, we're going to look at basic terms and practices around finances. You're going to get to prepare a budget for a program or event, and it's up to you how complicated it is or how simple, one or the other. Next week, you'll practice tracking money in, in-kind contributions, and money out. And then next week, you'll also prepare a simple financial report. This is a good learning event for people who don't have a lot of experience with finances, but it's also a really good one for those of you who are responsible for finances and supervise other staff who also spend money. So it gives you some common language, some common terms, and an understanding in your organization or in your role of how good practices are around money stuff. So what we're going to do, I'd like to do a round of introductions. It might take a little longer than our usual introductions, but we do have new people on the call, not just from Manitoba, but also Jacqueline from Yellowknife is joining us for the first time too. So it's great to hear who is who, where you're from, and what your role is when you do an introduction. And I'm going to ask you to add one more little thing in your introduction. And if you feel more comfortable popping this in the chat, by all means, go ahead and do so. So what I'd like you to do when you introduce yourselves, and we'll start in the Yukon, and I'll let you know what order in a moment in the Yukon. Just tell us your name, the community you're from or the community you work with, and your role as, excuse me, in recreation or sport or community. And then if you have kind of like a tip, a do or a don't, for handling money or managing finances, you can add that, but no obligation. If you don't have that, that's fine. So if somebody has the same tip or has already said the same do or don't that you're going to share, you can just say, oh, ditto, or I agree with, or you can pop something else in the chat as well. I don't want anyone to feel like they're put on the spot and it's like, oh, I've got to think of something new all of a sudden. So I'll start off, and then we're going to do the Yukon. So I see that Chanel and Myla are on the call, so I might start. I think you're separate, so we might start with you and CarMax, go to Marsh Lake with Nisha, and then go to Watson Lake and then and Whitehorse, and then we'll jump over. So I'll just sort of I'll pop the order in here, or I'll let you know each time who's coming up next so you can prepare for that. So Myla and Chanel, I'm going to get you to go after me. And so, as most of you know, I'm Caroline Sparks. I am based out of Whitehorse, and I'm the learning consultant and the main trainer for the Recreation North Training Program. And my do or don't is, don't round off numbers just to make life easier for you. If there's 99 cents, make sure you record it as 99 cents, unless somebody tells you otherwise. So, Myla, I'm wondering if you can unmute and introduce yourself briefly in about 5 to 10 seconds and add a do or a don't. And then we'll go to Chanel.
My name is Myla, and I work in CarMax on Little Salmon Traditional Territory. I believe a do and a don't is don't be shy to count more than once or even more than twice.
That's great. So don't be shy to recount it, right? Good tip. Thank you, Myla. Chanel, I'd like to invite you to unmute, and then we'll go down actually to Whitehorse next to Acacia. So Chanel, then Acacia, then Nisha.
Hi, I'm Chanel, and I'm from CarMax. for do and don't. I can't even think right now. Think of one.
That's okay. And what's your role in CarMax, Chanel?
The bookings clerk and acting director again at the moment.
Acting director again. Okay. That's for recreation, right?
Yeah, recreation director.
That's great. Thank you. Well, welcome. Let's go down to Whitehorse and then Marsh Lake and then Watson Lake. So, Acacia. Sorry, I had to unmute.
I'm Acacia and I work for Elder Active in Whitehorse. I'm the program coordinator and art instructor. Some dues, I would say make sure you keep track of how people are paying. I find that sometimes, like, I'll look back at a receipt, like, it says membership, but I don't know, did they pay cash, did they pay check, did they pay with credit card, that kind of thing is always good to keep track of as well on our any kind of financials is how they paid so you can track it later.
That's great, thanks. And Casey, do you mind popping in the chat just what Elder Active is? Because there's people on the call who aren't familiar with it, so just Elder Active Recreation Association is, just to give a bit more background information. Thank you.
Yes. Yep.
Okay, over to Misha and then Melanie and Watson Lake, and then we'll move on to NWT.
Hey everyone, my name is Misha Witkoff. I live in Marsh Lake, otherwise the traditional territories of Pagish and Carcass First Nation. I wear a few hats, but I'm the Northern Engagement Coordinator for Climate Reality Canada and the Executive Director for the Yukon Invasive Species Council. And my due is to get a second or third opinion on your budget.
That's probably a good one. So make sure that somebody else checks it out as well as you. So thanks, Misha. Welcome. Let's go over then to Melanie in Watson Lake.
Hello, I'm Melanie. I'm from Watson Lake. I'm the supervisor and rec programmer over here. And use status in budget. And another due would be probably do financial reporting straight after you did an event so you know you have an overlook or overview that you stayed on track.
That's great. Thank you. So don't leave it too long because then you forget what you did. Thank you. Okay. So in NWT, then we're going to start with April and then Igor and then Jacqueline. So April, if you'd like to introduce yourself, you might need to explain where your community is geographically too.
Hi everyone, my name is April Lucy. I'm from Uluhasta Northwest Territories from Victoria Island. I am the recreation coordinator, also on a lot of boards around the community. And I think do keep your receipts and take pictures of them just in case.
That's great. Keep those receipts, right? Don't lose them so you know what you spent. Otherwise, you might be out of pocket. So thank you, April. Let's go to Igor and then Jacqueline.
Thank you, Caroline. My name is Igor, and I live in Chulita, Northwest Territories. And I am the Director of Recreation here. And my one due for... regarding financial, and is make sure that you're within a financial year, and government use usually April 1st to March 31st next year. And also at the end, I want to say welcome to all new members, and I believe that you will enjoy this program and you will learn a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Igor. Thanks for that welcome. Okay, over to Jacqueline.
Hey, my name is Jacqueline. I live in Yellowknife, the capital of the NWT, and Yellowknife is located in the Chief Treasury's territory. I am the treasurer for the Northern Mosaic Network, which they used to be called the Rainbow Coalition. But the Northern Mosaic Network also serves the territory, which has Dene people, Métis, Inuit, and Cujo as well. And yeah, I've been here for 10 years, but I first moved to Fort Good Hope, which is a small community along the Mackenzie River, and I lived there for a couple of years before I moved to Yellowknife. This is my first time being treasurer, so I don't, this is why I'm taking this course, because I've never been in, like, my background's not in finance, so I'm hoping I can be a good treasurer for my board.
That's great. Well, hopefully you've got a lot of expertise in this group, too, to draw from if you have any questions. And I'm just wondering if you could pop in the chat a little bit about Northern Mosaic as well, just like Acacia did with Elder Active. I think that would be really interesting for everyone. So thank you. Okay, so we don't have anybody from Nunavut joining us today, so we're going to move into those of you from the Manitoba Aboriginal Sport and Recreation Council. And I have you listed sort of in alphabetical order, so if you don't mind me putting you on the spot, that would be great. I have Amory, and please correct me if I pronounce your name wrong. Like, I like to pronounce people's names correctly. And then Carrera, and then I'm not sure. Oh, and Jasmine, Josh, Mel, Nolan, Clinton, Rhonda, and Robin, so in that order. So over to you. Did I say it right, Amory?
Yeah, I did. Hi, my name is Amory. I work with NASRC. I work with the Sports for Social Development and as a program leader. And I can't think of any tips right now. I forgot who, but there's still my tip where I was like, keep your seats and take photos. And yeah.
That's great. If you think of the same thing, that means it must be extra important. So thank you. And for those of you, I don't know if everyone's seen it, but the latest call for proposals from the federal funding for sport for social development in Indigenous communities just came out too. So that's a side note. But thank you. Welcome, Amory. And then we go on to Carrera.
Carrera is out for a second.
Okay, no worries. So we'll come back.
Can do it when she comes back. Okay.
Perfect. How about we go to Jasmine and then Josh and then Mel?
Okay, hello. My name is Jasmine Jarnes. I'm from Brooklyn Ojibwe Nation. I work with NASRC in the Sports Social Development Department as well. And it might not be across the board, but is to take all your cash out and have it in physical cash, so then it's easier to keep the float together in one spot.
Good tip about using cash and petty cash. Thank you very much. Okay, let's go to Josh, then Mel, and Nolan and Rhonda, since you're on the same screen. So over to you, Josh.
Hi, I'm Josh. I work in Winnipeg with NASRC. I also work in the Sports Social Development. For a tip, I don't have any history working in finances, so I don't have any tips at this moment, but it's really good learning all the tips here now, and I hope to learn a lot more throughout this call.
That's great. Thank you. And it's okay if you don't have that experience, because some people have lots of it and some people don't. And sometimes it's just because people don't like doing money stuff. So that's another piece. Thanks, Josh. Welcome. And Josh, because I can see you on my screen, I'm going to put you on the spot. Could you put MASRC in the chat and write it out so everyone knows what the acronym is, and maybe put the, you know, maybe what your mandate is or something short. That would be great. Thank you. Okay, let's go over to Mel, and then Rhonda, Nolan, then Clinton, and Robin. So Mel, are you back in the office?
Hi.
You might
Mel.
There we go.
Can I just move? Can you move me to the end? I'm just parking.
Yeah, no worries.
Thank
Somebody
you.
Else can introduce you too if you
yeah,
want.
Rhonda can introduce me. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe we'll put Rhonda on the spot and she can introduce Carrera and you as well. So go for it, Rhonda.
Okay, Mel is our executive director at MASRC. Know what her financial tip would be, but I'll just introduce myself. I'm Linda. I am the finance manager at MASRC. So my tip, of course, it has been said, is the receipts. Always missing receipts. I need those receipts. Hey, Nolan, go.
I'm Nolan. I work in the MASRC warehouse.
That's great. Thanks, Nolan. And probably the same tip, keep those receipts. That's awesome. Thank you. Hi, Quentin. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello. My name is Quentin, and I work with MASRC. It's in Winnipeg, Manitoba. I am the North End Sports Coordinator, so I run urban programs here in the city. And a tip that I thought of, which is something someone else already mentioned, which is to double check and even triple check numbers when you're doing finances. So
that's great. Thank you very much, Quentin. And Robin, sorry to leave you right till the end. Would you like to unmute and just introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. I'm Robin Cruz. I am the manager for Sport for Social Development. We work in territories 1 through 5, 6, and 10, and I'm Red River Métis, living in Winnipeg, Manitoba. My tip is to actually write the subject on the receipt or give some details on the receipt as to what the purchase is for and why you're purchasing it.
That's a great tip, because you might have a lot of receipts from like a northern store or a co-op or something and not know what program they match up with. So thank you, Robin. I'm not sure if Carrera is back or not, but Rhonda, could you just – oh, you are back. Great. Would you like to just briefly introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Carrera. I'm the Director of Special Projects at the MASRC. That can mean whatever it needs to mean for the sake of our organization. And a financial tip that I have, because part of my role at the MASRC is finding grant funding. Basically, if you have a dream or you have a vision, it's also super important to search for means of funding so that you can apply, so that you can also carry out the thing that you're hopeful to do.
Yeah, that's a good tip around money stuff. So thank you very much. And thanks, everybody, for taking the time to get to know each other a little bit. For our next call, I'm just going to ask you to put your introductions in the chat, with given the number of people that we have. But I really appreciate it. I think one of the things that is really important about our Recreation North training is that you get to know each other and you learn who you can get ideas and inspiration from and who you can connect with. And I'm really thrilled that we've got all of you from the Manitoba Aboriginal Sports and Recreation Council here, because I think you work in a lot of communities that are remote, fly-in, and Indigenous, similar to those that we work in the North. So I think idea sharing is really the best way to learn. So thank you very much for that. So what we're going to do is I'm going to cover a little bit of the content right here. I'm going to share my screen. For those of you who are just on the phone, I will still explain what's on the screen. And I'm just sharing the presentation slides, so it's things that you do have access to in the learning event. So we're going to start with, if you wanted to follow along on your own computer, with slide number 6. And let this slide show that, I know it looks a little complicated, but it's trying to explain that handling or managing finances involves both systems and decisions. So systems are things that you set up to track and handle your money, and decisions are what you make about where to get and spend your money. So deciding to write a proposal or look for funding is a decision. The system might be the Excel file or the bookkeeping that you set up to track the money that comes in from that grant and the way that it's spent. As I mentioned, some of you do have experience handling or managing finances. You might find that this learning event is a bit of a review, but also keep in mind that the tools that we're sharing in our learning event are also ones that you can use with your staff or volunteers. So I think that that's another way that people have found that this is really beneficial. Activity number 1 in the learning event introduced you to some different terms.
They're shown here on the slide, and they're terms of, that you might hear or that you might use when you're handling recreation finances. And if you're not quite sure what some of them are, maybe take a look at, and become familiar with them. But I've definitely heard you mention some of them already on the call, so that's great. So what we're going to do is we're just going to come back to this concept that systems and decisions together help us manage finances. We've talked about some of the do's and don'ts, many of which are decisions you make. You decide to double-check something. You decide to write down on your receipt what that receipt was for. So let's just take a quick minute to find out what types of systems you use or you're familiar with. So what I'd like to invite you to do is I'm going to just, I think what we'll do is I'm just going to ask five people if they'd like to share, and the rest of you, I'd like to invite you to pop in the chat. And I'll stop presenting so that I can see who's just on their phones, and that might sort of influence who I ask to do what. So my question to you right now is, how does your organization handle bookkeeping, or what type of financial management software do you use? So I'm just going to, I know what you could do is pop in the chat. If somebody's willing to explain that, and I might ask Rhonda maybe to speak up first as a finance person, and the rest of you maybe, I might ask Jacqueline because you're in a treasurer role. So let's, if you don't mind me picking on you, you can say, no, I don't want to answer. But I'll ask a few people. So I'm going to ask Rhonda and Jacqueline, and how about Acacia? I'm going to ask you as well, just so that we've got a little bit of an overview of how you handle bookkeeping and the type of financial management software you use. And for the rest of you, if you know that, could you please pop it in the chat, and then we can share that as well. So Rhonda, you're probably representing the largest organization out of everybody on this call, apart from maybe some of the municipalities like April and Melanie. How do you handle bookkeeping, and what type of software do you use?
I use Excel. So I do all my spreadsheets and budgets and everything in Excel. And then once I've compiled my month, it goes to our bookkeeper who uses Sage.
Great. So you use something that, yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
And I think the staff uses when they're doing theirs. I'm not sure what they use when they do their proposals, but I do everything on Excel.
Yeah, and I guess the nice thing with Excel is you can blend files too. So if somebody else is using Excel, so those of you who work with MASRC, maybe you could pop in what you use. So Robin said she uses Excel. It's nice to use the same sort of things, and then it sounds like your bookkeeper uses something more advanced, which is Sage Accounting. Myla's in the village of Carmacks, which is a municipality in the Yukon. We only have 7 municipalities in the Yukon. And she's popped in the chat that they use Sage and Excel as well. So thanks for sharing that, Myla. So Jacqueline, do you know, I'm putting you on the spot as a brand new treasurer, what system do you use, and what type of financial software?
Yeah, I've only been a treasurer for a month with the board, so I haven't even received my first financial report yet, but my understanding is we just got a new bookkeeper, and I think our executive director uses Excel, and then I think our bookkeeper uses QuickBooks, I think. I'm not sure. But I think that executive director has a new system for staff. We just got a bunch of new staff. It used to just be them, and now we have new staff. So I think everyone's supposed to, like, have a form and a receipt, what program it's for, so they can keep track of, like, the bookkeeper can put down what program and event that one belongs in, so they can keep rolling over the budget for that particular event or not, and just the ins and outs. So that's all I have for now. We're still catching up on last fiscal year, so I think after that we'll be cleaner and get a better idea of how our finances are doing.
That's great. Well, there's a number of things in the chat, so it'll even give you just an idea of what to ask about what you're doing. So Melanie has popped in the chat that that they have a treasurer in their community, so Melanie's in another municipality, and that they forward receipts. April uses Excel as well, and I think the hamlets, so in NWT and Nunavut, hamlets are also municipalities. So the hamlet of Ulu-Hoktuk, she's not sure what software they use, but it's probably something like Sage or something a little bit more complicated for most of us. And Igor said that the hamlet of Tulita has a financial department and uses QuickBooks and Excel. Acacia, do you know what you guys use for Elder Active? Because that's a nonprofit organization, so interesting to do some comparisons here.
Yeah, since I don't deal with the budget directly very often, I'm not 100% sure what they use for their overall bookkeeping, other than I know that Edie uses QuickBooks and potentially some other software. But in terms of my position, I use Acuity and Stripe for online programs, like for payments and tracking those payments and doing refunds and that kind of thing. And then we use Aquila system, which is, has our all our like 600, close to 700 contacts, and it also has like a section for their membership. So each Elder Active member has to be a member, so we track if they're a member on there, which is sort of related to keeping financials as well. And then I use Excel for my own budgets and tracking for individual programs.
That sounds pretty complicated.
It is.
Wow.
Complicated.
If anybody else has a membership-based organization and you use something different, so Casey, maybe you can put a link to Acuity in case anyone's interested. And if anybody else has a different system, excuse me, that you use, if you could put that in the chat, that would be great. So, Nisha, Asana, is that a project management software or that's a financial one?
Yeah, it's project management, but there's also like some like financial stuff that you can like somehow use invoices or something. I'm still trying to figure it all out, but I'm actually kind of, we have something else that we use as well that hasn't been mentioned, but I am trying to figure out what we're using. I'm still new, so.
And I think a lot of people are in the same boat. So this financial sort of piece, the things behind the background, the systems that are used, can be a little bit more complicated. So that, I think that's why it's important for us to, and I'm including myself in that, to be able to make sort of good decisions around finances so that it supports those more complicated systems and we don't have to worry about them. Somebody else looks after them. So thanks for sharing your ideas. If there's anything else that you would recommend as far as software or systems for anyone to look at, it's really helpful. This is a great place to share ideas and suggestions. So I'm going to come back to sharing my screen here. We're going to look at a little bit more content. And starting with slide 8, if you happen to be have this in front of you or not. If not, no worries. You can look on the screen here. So beginning with slide 8, we introduce budgets, and that's the main focus of this week in this learning event. We'll look at what a budget is, the different types, there's lots, but the basic types of budgets, and how to put one together. Your first required learning activity, or RLA, in EF101, this learning event, is to build a budget. So as you can see here, think of a budget, and this really helps me not feel overwhelmed by numbers, because like if you saw my accounting system, it's a drawer full of receipts that sits there for the entire year, and then because I'm self-employed, I have to go through them all, and it's a little bit not very effective. So I'm not the best financial person, but I like budgets, because for me, a budget is a financial plan. It shows what I'm planning to do and how I'm going to do it, but using numbers. So for most of you in the last learning event, you planned or you designed a program and you used a template to show what that program was. A logic model is another type of way of showing what you're doing, but a budget shows how you're going to do it with money. The other thing with a budget is it can help control how you spend by predicting the money that's going to come in and the money that's going to go out. And in the nonprofit world, for those of you working for nonprofit organizations, you know that can be challenging because sometimes you have a project or a program running, you expect your grant at a certain time, and it comes like 8 months later. So we just got approval of funding last week for money for the 2023-2024 financial year. And when I say we, I mean the Recreation and Parks Association of the Yukon. So that sort of blew the budget up because now it has to, the plan that we had with the original budget didn't match the way that the money came in. So we have to do a quick change with that. So I have a couple more questions for you about budgets. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go around in the order. So I'll ask the first five people in the circle, and then the next question will be the next five people. I will give you a heads up if you're on the hook. If you don't want to answer, just say pass. That's totally okay. Listening is a really good way to learn, as well as talking. And for anyone who I don't come to for each question, it would be great if you could pop an answer in the chat because I think that it's helpful because sometimes you have ideas that somebody else might not have. So I'm just going to copy the question here. And we'll do the first five people that we did the first five introductions for. So I think that's pretty much everybody in the Yukon gets to answer this question. And then I've got a few more. So for those of you in the Yukon, we'll start with Myla and Chanel. Is a budget more like a system or is it more like a decision? What are your thoughts? And everybody else, you can help them out by popping your answer in the chat. Myla, what do you think? Is a budget a system or is it more like making decisions?
I guess it kind of depends on your role. I feel like it's more like a system, but I mean, somebody's got to decide how much your budget is, right?
Yeah. So it might be a system that you follow because somebody set your budget, or whoever creates the budget might have to make decisions, and then you probably have decisions about how you follow that budget. So that's great. Thanks, Myla. Chanel, do you have any thoughts about if a budget is more like a system or a decision? And Igor's put his two cents in, so anybody else jump in there too?
Absolutely.
Okay, no worries. How about Acacia? What do you think?
I'm definitely pondering this one. I think it sort of feels like both, depending on how you're looking at it. I think in terms of how it relates to my program job, I had to make decisions based on the money that comes in through our membership, through our how much we charge for our classes, and I make decisions on how much those programs are going to cost based on how much our budget is going to be in terms of expenses. So it's kind of like a system to figure out how much can we spend without going under. And as a nonprofit, we're not trying to make a profit. We're always just trying to make it so that we're not losing money. So that was the way I always look at it. But I'm still kind of new to working with budgets. So I think that would be my limited experience version of that.
Well, and this is a question that there's no necessarily right or wrong answer for. So I think by sharing our thoughts on it, we actually learn more and come to understand a little bit more. So, Misha, what do you think? Is a budget a system or a decision?
I think it's both because the budget comes from decisions that are made on how you want to make something, like a program, but it's also a system because I think, like the person before me said, like it's kind of related to. I think it's a system. It could be both, but I see it really systematically. Because oftentimes, yeah, you have to work within a budget, but then also an idea, you have to make a budget off of it. So.
Yeah. So I think as it really depends on the role that you're in, as some of you have mentioned. Melanie, did you want to jump in? I said this would be a Yukon question. So do you think a budget's more like a system or more like a decision?
I agree with those who say it's both. I think it's a decision for those who are the decision makers, like the leaders of the organization, and it is a system for those that follow those decisions. And I say system also because there is a system in place, so we also know where to allocate our receipts within that system to be able that it goes into the right budget lines. So yeah, there is the decision first, and then there is a system implemented with that decision that we then have to follow.
It sounds pretty complicated, hey? But I would suggest that probably I would agree with you guys that it's a little bit of both, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of decision making with budgets that goes into budgets. It's not how you only how you create a budget, but also how you use it. So Mel and Igor have said decisions. Jacqueline said a bit of both. Myla's add a little bit about it depends on, you know, your funding and who's setting that. So really good ideas. And Misha said, well, it's a question of chicken or egg. So there we go. That's a good way to summarize that conversation. If we go back to the slides, so I'm just going to pop them open again here. So we've looked at this one, and there is a link. You'll see a lot of the slides in here, I give links, so there's a sample, and I try and keep the examples fairly simple. I find that with a budget, you can make it bigger if you need to, or you can condense it, and it really depends on how you develop it. Thanks, April. You got a system in there, so that's great. Slide 9 here shows a few different types of budgets. I'd like to invite you while I'm just explaining these to pop in the chat the main type of budget that you use. So you can see that there's program budgets, so that would be specific to a program or a project. So for those of you like Robin, you mentioned looking after certain projects and proposals and things, you probably use a program budget. I guess, there we go. Thanks, Robin. And then an annual budget. Who uses an annual budget? Maybe you can pop in the chat if you have an annual budget that you need to follow. And that might be things like those of you in a hamlet or a municipality might have an annual budget that you have to follow over a fiscal year. An operating budget, it might show the cost more for a facility. So if you're responsible for a facility, if anyone has an operating budget, or a capital budget that you're looking after, maybe you can pop that in just to get a sense of what we're doing. So I see lots of program budgets set coming up. Somebody's got an annual budget, a bit of operational budgets, but mostly annual. How about everybody else? What's the main budget that you use? Okay, so we've got a pretty good balance in our group between program budgets and annual budgets. That's great. Yeah, and Jacqueline, if you're the treasurer, you're probably responsible for a program and an annual one. The operational budget might be, sometimes there's a difference between that's more for a facility, so I don't know if you run your own facility or not. And Quentin, the program budget, definitely for your sports program. So that's great. I love seeing sort of the variety that we have. So those are some of the different types of budgets, and there's probably many other types as well. On slide 10, you can see that it explains that a budget uses categories to separate or classify or identify and to sort the expenses, so the money that will go out and the revenue, the money that you think might come in. So for some of you, you might be told the budget categories that you have to use. Those of you who are writing proposals, a funder might tell you what budget categories you can ask for money and which ones you can't. And if you're just doing a program budget, maybe your treasurer or your finance person lets you know how they would like you to set up your budget. So let's just, my next question, I'm going to ask those of you in NWT to answer this question. So I'll stop my screen share. April, sounds like you've got a lot of, whoops, I clicked the wrong one there, almost clicked disconnect. Stop presenting is the right one. There we go. Thanks, April. It sounds like you have a few different types of budgets in your, and Hamlets would definitely have a number of different types. So I'm going to ask those of you in NWT to respond to this question, and the rest of you pop in the chat something that comes to mind, and you just need to pop one thing in the chat. So what are some of the categories that you might find in a budget? So April, if I can put you on the spot to unmute and share what you find, and then we'll go to Igor and then to Jacqueline. And again, feel free to pass if you need to pass, or you can also pop in the chat pass. So April, I see that you're muted, so maybe we'll go to Igor. Igor, I have a spinning circle for you. Are you able to unmute and share a category that you have in your budget?
Yes, I would say facility costs, so like which is a rental for events or for projects, or also damage deposits that sometimes we utilize. Yeah, that's one of the categories in my opinion.
That's great. And Jacqueline, if you've seen some of your budgets, what are some of the categories that you have in your budget?
I haven't seen it yet, but I know from running the events, I've seen all those kinds, like for in-kind contribution, like a pride parade, and they would have volunteer time, and the grocery store might donate food for the event. We have programs where we have maybe someone coming to show us how to sew beaver mitts or something, then they would have honorarium, rent facility in town for hosting events. And we also have a center, so the administrative cost of having supplies in the office and computers and whatnot. So all of the above.
That's great. That was a lot. Thank you. And it's hard to get used to those categories, because if a budget is complicated, you might have a lot of categories, and you might find that in a hamlet. I'm going to ask a couple of you with MASRC, what are some of the categories in your budget? So, Josh, I see you following along. Everyone else has their cameras off. What is the category that you know that you have to manage in a budget? Do you have one?
Yeah, we have facilitator fees. That's one of them. So if we need to have an instructor come in to run a specific program, we'll have a budget set aside for that facilitator fee. So that's one aspect that I know of.
That's great. And Quentin, for your program, what's another budget category that you might have in your program?
Yeah, so for one of my main things is running the North End Hockey Program, so hockey teams that play within the Winnipeg Hockey League here. So ice time is a big one, budgets for ice times and things like that. Team windups is another one, things that regard a team over the course of the season, basically. So.
Yeah, and Milo's popped in transportation. Do you have transportation costs too, even though you're running within the North End of Winnipeg?
Yeah, we do have a budget for transportation costs as well.
That's great. Thanks for sharing. And Robin's put in other categories that, you know, in some of your situations are really important, airline tickets. So I imagine that some of the Manitoba communities are pretty expensive to get to, just like in Nunavut and in NWT. So, yeah, definitely airline tickets, rental cars, accommodations, meeting supplies. So lots of different categories that we will experience in a budget. If I go back to sharing my screen here on slide 11. So slide 11 shows you, didn't work, start sharing. Slide 11 shows 5 steps for developing a budget. Okay, it's not sharing for me. I think I've got a few spinning wheels here, so I'm not sure if it's my internet, but it's not letting me share the screen. So if you happen to have that slide available, here it comes. There we go. A little slow. I'm outside of Whitehorse. Sometimes things take us by surprise out here. So slide 11 shows some basic steps for developing a budget. And the first thing that it suggests is that you need to decide on what you're doing and over what time period. So that's a really important piece to do. Here's the slide coming up. There we go. So you have to sort of understand your program. So Quentin, I imagine for your North End program, hockey has a time frame to it, right? Because it happens at a certain time in the year. So if you happen to run a program budget, it might also be over an entire fiscal year or part of a year. So what are you doing and over what time period is the first one? And then you want to figure out how much it's going to cost. And I don't know, has anyone ever had a perfect budget where you figured out exactly what it's going to cost and that's exactly what it costs? If you have, pop in the chat. I have, but I actually have never done that. The budget, I always find the actual costs are different. So we need to start somewhere because this is a plan. So we need to figure out what we think it will cost. And these are the expenses that we budget for. Then we need to find out how much money we have or how much we'll be getting. And these are our revenues or the money coming in. And sometimes, as some of you have mentioned, you actually have to go out and look for that money. So you might have a budget, but you don't have, and you might have the expenses, but you might not have the revenue to go along with that. And in addition to the money coming in to cover your expenses, you might need to look for in-kind contributions. And then what you do is you calculate the balance. So you subtract the expenses, so the money you think will go out, from the money that you think will come in. And if the number is positive, you should make money. But most of us are in recreation where we just want to break even. So I think that's pretty much the goal in recreation. If it's negative, you're going to lose money. So especially with a nonprofit organization, it's a pretty big decision if you have money coming in, but it's going to cost more. Where else are you going to draw that money from? So if you have a program that's in a remote fly-in community, it's going to cost you more than offering it in a community that you can drive to. So can you balance out the money so that you can still sort of break even? So I used a word here that's in our terms, and it's in-kind contribution. So I'm just going to ask, this is going in the chat, what is an example of an in-kind contribution? So I'm going to put those of you at MASRC who I haven't put on the spot yet on the spot. And again, please don't feel like I'm putting you on the spot. If you want to pass, you can. So Carreras jumped in with gym space. Exactly, like using facilities, gym space, ice time. Amory, do you have an example? Sorry to put you on the spot, but do you have an example of an in-kind contribution? I can see. Oh, there we go. Sorry, can you say that again?
Oh, no, I don't. Sorry.
Okay. So let's go to Carrera said a gym space. So an in-kind contribution like gym space, or Melanie said volunteer hours. Jacqueline said another organization doing something for you. Jasmine said accommodation. Those are all examples of things in kind that somebody might give you. There's a value to it, especially like think of accommodation, right? I was just in Iqaluit and the accommodation was $350 a night. So like if for somebody to cover that for me, that's a value of $350. Robin's got someone providing transportation in the community. Absolutely, because that saves you the cost of gas and a rental car. Melanie's got using maintenance equipment that you don't have to pay for, especially if you're responsible for outdoor fields or buildings, things like that. April's got equipment like speakers and mics and laptops and printers and free Wi-Fi. Good one. That's a great example of in-kind. Thanks for that, April. Let's see. Quentin, do you have any examples of in-kind contributions that you get in your program?
Like sometimes if we, like last year for example, we would take the teams to like University of Manitoba Bison's hockey games or like the Winnipeg Ice, and sometimes in the past they've donated like merch, like, you know, I guess tubes and stuff like that. Would that count as any kind contribution? Or?
Yeah, anything, really an in-kind contribution is something that you're getting and you can sort of place a value on it, and it's saving you money. You're not paying for it out of pocket. So there's lots of different ones. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the term is fairly new to me, so this is one word that I heard before, but I never knew exactly what it meant. So.
Yeah, and it's good to hear some of the examples. Like, there's a lot of examples popped in the chat, so keep putting them in here because you guys have some great examples. The other reason why understanding in-kind contributions from a recreation and sport perspective is there's lots of ways to cover costs and make it way cheaper or free for people who are participating in our program. So, Quinton, along the hockey lines, one thing that's big in Nunavut is for communities to try and get donations of equipment, because most families in Nunavut, you know, have a hard time affording equipment for kids to play hockey. So that would be another in-kind contribution. Igor's got donations for groceries from the Northern store, and Mel said shoes, clothing, meeting room space. And Melanie, you talked about Wi-Fi being like a sponsorship. And yeah, sponsorship is a form of in-kind. So a sponsor could give you cash, perhaps, that you choose what to do with, or they might give you something that's an in-kind one. So you could look at it both ways. Rhonda, do you guys, I'm just curious, do you track any in-kind contributions in MASRC?
Yeah, we do, because some of our funding requires us to have a certain amount of in-kind donations. So we do keep track of, like, when they get free accommodation or any of that stuff, or if we have really big donations. Like, we had a really huge donation of running shoes, like 200 pairs of running shoes donated to us. So we keep track of that for our in-kind.
That's great. And you can imagine the value of 200 pairs of running shoes. Like, that's probably what? $2,000, no, more than $2,000, like $20,000 worth of 100 pairs of shoes. So that's some of those in-kind contributions can be quite significant. And I guess the other thing I'm wondering is, you've mentioned accommodations, and Robin did too. How do you guys put like a dollar amount to those contributions?
We just kind of like what you would pay for a hotel-ish. Like $100 a night, or, you know, kind of a standard rate for what they would have paid if they would have had to stay in a hotel.
Yeah, so the standard rate is probably an easy way to do it. So then you can assign it across the board. So that's great. Thanks. So think of, when you're looking at your budgets for this week's activity, think of in-kind as well. And Jacqueline just asked a really good question. Would the budget need to have a monetary value placed for in-kind contributions? My best answer to that is, it depends. So it depends on, like, when you're applying for proposals, yes, you probably do need to do that. It's pretty important to show that. But sometimes your bookkeeper might not want to know what those are. So it depends on the systems you're using and where you're placing that and who you're sharing that with. So that's not a very clear answer, but we can chat some more if you have questions like that. Like, that's what we're here for. So I have one last question before we wrap up the call, and I'm going to pop it in the chat. And I just want you guys to answer the question in the chat if you're in the chat. I will read it for anyone who's on the phone. What should you always do once you have your budget done and before you start spending? Any ideas? Let's see what shows up in the chat here. Approval, yay! Way to go, Robin. Anyone else thinking the same thing or something different? Same, yes, absolutely. Okay, while you're popping those in, I'm just going to introduce this week's required learning activity. Oh, there's another good one. Make sure you actually have the money. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And Mel said the same thing. Make sure the money's there, and make sure you have approval. Because if you have a supervisor or somebody who oversees the work that you're doing, they absolutely should sign off on your budget. So thanks, everyone. That's great. There might be a couple more answers popping up. So slide 13, if you happen to see that, explains that your required learning activity for this week is to prepare a budget. And there's two different ways you can do that. You choose which one is most meaningful to you. So you can use a case study that I prepared that's from the Yukon, and you can use that for the both of the required learning activities in this learning event. Or what you could do is you can use the program or event that you designed for the last learning event, PE 101. So Clinton, that would be your North End Sports that you shared. You could do your budget for that. Or if you have something else in mind that you think you might need to prepare a budget for, you can do that as well. So I'd like you to either choose the case study or a program or event that you're familiar with and prepare a budget. If you choose to do your own, please include a description of it and not just the budget. So if you use your PE 101, the program or event you designed, attach that or add that in or take a screenshot of it so that we know what your budget matches, like the program or event that it's for. For those of you in the same community or the same organization, if you want to team up, by all means, go ahead. If you have two people on there, please do let me know that the two people who actually worked on the activity. That's totally okay, because sometimes having two heads looking at a budget works really well as well. So I'd like to say that if you have any questions, please stay on the call after I stop the recording. Thank you for joining us and sharing your ideas today. Next week, we're going to talk a bit more about handling finances after your budget's been approved and you've been spending for a bit. So, Masi Cho Guanashish, so that's thank you in the local languages where I live. If you want to pop thank you in the local language in your community or area into the chat, that would be great. I always love seeing all the different ways that we can say thank you. So, Kwana, it says April. Anybody else want to pop in? And feel free to hang up when you need to roll off. And Myla, I think you and I are chatting after the call. Anyone else can stay on too. So Marcy, Masi Cho, have a great afternoon, and I'll talk to you all next week.